The gospel for this occasion is recorded in Matthew, the 4th chapter. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and the angels came and attended him. Robert Penn Warren wrote a novel called All the King's Men. It was a story of the governor of Louisiana and his rise to power. His name was Willie Stark. At the end of the story, he is shot down dead. Here was a man who gained a kingdom and lost all he ever had. 2,000 years earlier, Jesus Christ posed the question, "What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" When he made that statement, he was not only addressing those who heard him, but may have been looking back to a time of decision in his own life, that time in the wilderness when he was struggling with the same temptations that you and I face. Temptations the Bible calls the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. In each one of those temptations, the devil was offering Jesus and all mankind a lie. The lie of satisfaction, contentment, pleasure, and purpose apart from faith in God and obedience to God. In the first temptation of the devil, the lust of the flesh, Jesus was tempted by the wrong use of power. He was tempted to use his power as the divine Son of God to satisfy a bodily desire and need for his own sake, rather than using his power for the sake of others. You and I face the same temptation to look out for number one, to use the gifts and resources that God has given us only for our own benefit, with little or no thought giving to sharing what God has first given us to help meet the needs of others. In the second temptation of the devil, the lust of the eyes, Jesus was tempted by the wrong way to popularity, the way of sensationalism. We too are tempted to want the approval and accolades of men by doing things the world's way, by making a splash, by going along to get along, rather than wanting and seeking the approval and accolades of God, which come not from putting God first, but from putting God only, as Jesus did. In the third temptation, the arrogant pride of life, Jesus was tempted by the wrong kind of partnership, to enter into league with the devil by believing the lie that Satan is sovereign over all the kingdoms of the world. Satan tempts us to think he has the upper hand as well. He tempts us to think that God is asleep at the wheel when it comes to knowing what's going on around us and what's going on in our own lives. He tempts us to think that he's large and in charge. not God, which is just one more of his demonically colossal lies. Today, as we mark the beginning of the season of Lent, with its assigned scripture lesson being the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness, you and I are faced with two choices. To face temptation as Jesus did in the power of the Holy Spirit and by the Word of God, and in doing so to gain the upper hand over the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Or to face down the devil and his alluring temptations in the power of our own ineffective, insufficient, and puny strength. What will we gain if that's our choice? It's most certainly not the upper hand, but in the words of the song from Hee Haw, what we will gain is gloom, despair, and agony on me, deep, dark depression, and excessive misery. That's what comes from being in league with Satan and buying his lies. As a Christian who's been sent by God into the world to be his witness, don't buy what the devil is selling. Jesus didn't. Jesus knew he had been sent by God to lead people back to God. But how? He had a vision, but how to bring that vision to reality? What method, what strategy was he to adopt? That of a mighty conqueror or the method of patient, sacrificial love? As a Christian, you're faced with the same questions. What kind of person are you going to be? Selfish or self-giving? Will you hoard what God has given you or share with others what you have first received from God? Will you follow the example of Jesus that leads to life? Or follow in the steps of the devil, the steps of pride and self-will and self-serving that leads to judgment, condemnation, and death? To decide on his course of action, Jesus was driven by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness, a desolate and lonely place. We read that in the wilderness, Jesus was tempted. And while the common understanding of the word temptation means to seek, to seduce into evil, which is precisely what the devil does, it is unthinkable that the Holy Spirit would try to tempt Jesus or anyone. As James 1 says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Thus, the meaning of the word tempt is used about what Jesus went through in the wilderness has the flavor of a test. It was a test of his loyalty to God, a test of his willingness to do whatever God wanted him to do, no matter what the cost. Just like metal has to be tested far beyond any stress and strain that it will ever be called upon to bear before it can be put to any useful purpose, a person must likewise be tested by God before God can use him or her for his purposes. In Jesus' case, he fully bore the stress and strain of tests that we will never be able to bear, because we cave into temptation before it ever gets to the point beyond which we can bear it. We can't even imagine the degree to which Jesus was tested and tempted, because we never get to that point. And even if we did, as human beings, we couldn't bear it, because his temptation, his testing, was to bear the sins of the world. An impossible task for any man, but possible only for the Son of Man. So here's the takeaway point when it comes to being tempted or tested as a Christian. In God's hands, what we call temptation is not meant to make us sin. It's meant to make us strong, to enable us to conquer sin, to resist the appeal of sin, the pleasure of sin, the wrong of sin. It's not meant to weaken us. It's meant to make us stronger and finer and purer for having gone through the test. It's the testing which comes to a person whom God wishes to use. The devil tempts us in order to make us fall. God tests us in order to make us stand. The devil tempts us in order to make us sin. God tests us in order to prove the strength of our trust in him and to make us stronger as we rely on him through times of temptation and testing. In the same way, we should see the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness as his first great time of testing, where his loyalty and trust in God could be strengthened and proved, and where he could determine the method by which he would undertake and fulfill the mission that God had given him in the world. And just as Jesus needed private time and solitude with God in prayer, we too need to get away from other people at times, to especially seek God's face, to especially seek his guidance and his power, his encouragement. Far too often, we run to the phone rather than the throne. We look to other people rather than to God for counsel, advice, and wisdom. But to get the best counsel, the best advice, the best wisdom, we need to turn to God. To get to a quiet place for quiet time in his presence. That's just what Jesus did in the wilderness. So as we consider the temptation and testing of Jesus today, let us remember it was not just an outward experience, but it was a struggle that went on in his heart, mind, and soul. It was both an outer struggle and an inner struggle. Many times our struggles with sin and temptation are the same. We may look perfectly fine on the outside, but on the inside there's turmoil, there's struggle as we seek to do what God wants to do, wants us to do, and to do the right thing, even when we feel like doing the wrong thing instead. It's the strategy of the devil and the method of the devil, who hates you and wants you to go to hell with him, to attack you through your inmost thoughts and desires. And even though he's not omnipotent or able to read your mind, his attack is launched in your mind. And he uses your weaknesses and your strengths against you, either to discourage you and lead you to despair and doubt, or to lead you into arrogance, pride, and self-trust. In either case, he tempts you to forsake your faith in God and to doubt his love for you. Don't fall for it. The devil is a liar and the father of lies. Nor must we think that this temptation of Jesus by the devil was a one and only occurrence, or that Jesus in one campaign conquered the tempter and the devil never came to him again. Later on, the tempter came to Jesus through the voice of his close friend Peter, who tried to persuade him from going to Jerusalem where he would be killed on the cross. In the voice of his friend, Jesus heard the hissing of the serpent, causing him to say to Peter, "Be gone, Satan." In Gethsemane, the tempter came to Jesus again, and a struggle ensued that we could never imagine. A struggle so great that Jesus shed great drops of blood in the fight. A struggle to forsake His mission to forsake doing his Father's will, to forsake the cross by which we alone could be saved. But Jesus won that struggle. He passed that test. He was victor over temptation, sin, and the devil. And because he was, we can be too. In the power of his might, we now have the power of the Holy Spirit within us to help us resist temptation, resist sin, and the devil will flee. And we will be victorious in times of temptation and testing. Because Jesus fought and won his battle, we can fight and win our battles, not in our own strength, but by leaning on and relying on his strength, his power, his spirit, his word. As you walk this year's Lenten journey to the cross and reflect on the events leading up to the death of Jesus, including his time of temptation and testing in the wilderness, you can take comfort and courage as you take up your cross and follow Jesus in the way of sacrificial love, knowing that in his hands, your times of testing will teach you what's worth sacrificing for, the glory of God and the salvation of men. Your times of testing will teach you who you really are, a redeemed child of the Lord and Savior who gave up his life for you. And your times of testing will show you what your true purpose is, to love God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. To that great end, and for that great purpose, you were born. And for that, you can thank God, the God you need every hour. Amen.